Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, mamas. What the fuck is good? My name is Camo, and you're listening to another episode of Unfazed and Unbothered, the podcast where we rant, rave, and ramble about literally any and everything. So this past week, I went to the doctor, and I found out that I have very high blood pressure. I think I mentioned months back that it was kind of high, but it was like heart attack level the other day. So if I'm a little off today, that's why. I started a blood pressure medication, and I'm just starting to adjust to that, and it's making me feel a little funky. So bear with me. My apologies. I will say, while that visit unlocked a new anxiety for me, it also alleviated others. So my blood work was all gray, which is just so cute and gorgeous. My brain is a scary place, y'all. I feel like I'm always having an inner conflict. You know, the angel and the devil are always, you know, going back and forth with each other, especially when I'm high. Especially when I'm high. You know, I have mentioned so many times, every stoner out there across the lands, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop smoking. Bitch, when? You've said that 1,000 fucking times. It's exhausting. And I know y'all have heard me say that probably 1,000 times. But when I'm high, my brain just takes it there. But it also helps because it's like, the thing with weed for me personally is it's always a gamble. Like, I can either enter an anxiety attack and I suddenly have all these health conditions. Oh, your disease is back. You got HIV. You got this. You got boo boo boo. You got cancer. My brain goes there every time. The intrusive thoughts are intrusive, okay? And it's just not the case. It's just not the case. So I don't know how to silence those bitches, but if y'all have any advice, please let a sister know. So I'm all clear. I'm all good. There was nothing too concerning other than my blood pressure. So I'm trying to work on that. There's a lot of contributing factors that are potentially elevating it, such as my insomnia. I'm getting like 4 hours of sleep, stressing over this fucking Adderall shortage. Y'all have probably heard it. You know, we hear things like that all the time. Adderall shortage, coin shortage, bread shortage, bitch. What, where? I'm not affected, but then you become affected. Yeah, so this past 2 weeks ago, I went to go pick up my prescription and it was not available. And I've called every single day since. It's not been available. And just domino effect, you know. That stresses me out because I'm not as productive, and like, not to, you know, put Adderall like on a pedestal, like, oh, I can only do anything if I'm on that. But like, I really do suffer from crippling ADHD. Like, it's a problem. And I know a lot of people use it as like a little quirk or a cute little, oh, ADHD, I'm so silly. But no, like, it actually stresses me the fuck out. And when I started taking the prescription, I had so many benefits from it. Like, I was constantly writing music, and I was always at the gym, and I was just being productive. And I did kind of, like, start to, you know, mellow out and adjust. So I do need to, I was about to up my dose. Yeah, so this, when I went to go pick up my prescription, it was a higher dose. And I was very excited because I'm like, fuck yeah, I can have, you know, like, maybe that edge back. And no, they don't have Adderall anywhere. So it's been a struggle the past 2 weeks. I did, however, yesterday, I was like, enough is enough. Like, something is better than nothing. Please, doctor, like, do something for me. And they sent me some Vyvanse. So today I took Vyvanse for the first time. And I'm also taking amlodipine, blood pressure medication. Which, just the sound of that is so frustrating to me, because I'm 28 years old and I sound like a fucking grandmother. You're taking amlodipine, bitch. It's going to be okay. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to start chugging water. I say that as I'm fucking dehydrated, which is another contributing factor of high blood pressure, is dehydration. A caffeine consumption. Big ass cup of coffee. Come on, Camo. Get it the fuck together, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm struggling in real time. Oh. Yeah, so my labs came back. I'm all clear. I'm all good. No, nothing concerning. Just my blood pressure. We're going to work on that. We're going to be good, and we're going to move on. Move the fuck on, Cabo. So this past week, outside of that, I have been recording a lot of music, and I'm very happy with some of the songs that I've gotten. I'm like really surprised I've been able to work on music the way I have been, considering the lack of Adderall. But outside of music and like playing Fortnite this past 2 weeks, I've really not done anything. I've not went to thrift stores really. I've not gotten out of the house. It's actually like concerning. As I say it aloud, I'm like, wow, damn, bitch, get out of the house. Like, you always encourage people to get out of the house and go do something, and here you are being a recluse. I need to go for a walk, but it's also been fucking raining almost every day in Georgia. Like, what the fuck is that about? And like, we'll have like a nice clear day and I'll go for a walk, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And then the next fucking day, it rains and pours. Yeah, so that, I guess that seasonal depression, I think that's what's going on here. Yeah, I've been kind of down in the dumps, and binge eating is another contributing factor. But okay, bitch, we're not talking about that shit. Move the fuck on. I really don't have much updates for y'all this week. I think I just updated y'all entirely. So I'm going to go on a break. And when I come back, I'm going to share some stories of my adolescence that just are, you know, they stick in my brain, you know. Wow, I'm short-circuiting right now, y'all. I need to eat something, and I need to take a nap. But anyways, I'll see y'all in a minute.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay, I'm back, bitch. My high school 10-year reunion is this summer, and the past like week, I've just been recalling so many situations that are for some reason stick in my brain. And I made a list of some. They don't have a particular order. But I'm just going to start sharing some of these stories. So if my classmates are listening, hey, I'm ready to see y'all. Can't wait. Hope you're all doing great. Bring your Vera Bradley and a Sharpie, bitch. Yeah, so I was very much, growing up, I was very much that kid who didn't give a fuck, would willingly embarrass themselves to get a laugh out of somebody. Like, I guess I was a bit of a class clown, but not the best class clown, because it wasn't like jokes that I was, you know, I was embarrassing myself, you know. And if you told me to do something or told me I couldn't do something or you dared me to do something, like, I very much was going to do that. And I think people took advantage of that because people had me do a lot of stupid shit. And looking back in hindsight, I was very much that kid who's in the hallway screaming and screeching and making weird, inappropriate noises and throwing erasers through the atrium and pretending like I didn't do it. Like, oh my God. Bitch, I was a mess. Like, I was always doing something stupid, always mischievous, you know? So I have like a little list of some things, some issues that arose, and I, you know, some whatever. Like, I was just a troubled child, I guess. I was struggling. I was trying to figure myself out, and I was just always met with roadblocks and nasty people. And so I just kind of like built this exterior, and I just kind of did my thing. And I don't know. I'm not proud of all of these stories, but they are my past. So I'm going to share them with you candidly. Okay. So in seventh grade, I had moved from a more urban rural area, Lawrenceville, you know, and I moved to Winder, Georgia, which is very much at the time was cows and Home Depot and Walmart, and that was it. And it was a bit of a culture shock for me because people were not wearing what I was wearing. I was wearing Sean John and Echo, Fat Farm, Rockaware, all those brands. You know, you got an understanding of visual. It was a hot mess. I had chains. Those memories haunt me. But I moved to Barrow County, and everyone there was in like Hollister and Abercrombie. And, you know, I always knew that I was more physically attracted to men, but up until I came out of the closet, I had, like most queer people, I was just, you know, seeking validation and approval. And I just wanted to fit in. I didn't want to fit in, you know, physically, but I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to be such an outcast. So like the whole queer thing was just off the table. So I tried to, you know, mold myself. I tried to deny myself those thoughts and feelings. And anyways, point being made, I took a likeness to this girl. Don't know why, but She was just my friend, and she was funny, and we had like cute and gorgeous times together, I guess. Thinking back in hindsight, she really was just making fun of me, and I was just like, oh, she's laughing with me. No, thinking back, she was laughing at me because I was a character. I still am, but I'm a different character, I would say. But anyways, I asked this bitch out, right? And she dead ass told me, sorry, you don't dress white. So my family's always went to thrift stores. It was a regular thing we did. So, you know, we went to Goodwill that night, and I remember I found these Etnies, you know, the skater shoes. I found a pair of those and a pair of cargo shorts. Y'all, I can't make this up, but I'm not making this up. And I believe it was a Banana Republic t-shirt. I thought I looked white as snow. So I went to school and I was like, hey, what's up? You know, like, look at me. I'm Caucasian, you know? Am I white enough for you? And she told me, no, you're too fat now. So she dead ass told me, sorry, you're still fat. Get a treadmill. Those were dead ass her words verbatim. So, you know, that kind of did a number on me. But fast forward actually to my junior year, as if like that didn't put such a distaste in my mouth, she kind of like used me to get back at this girl who had taken her man, basically. But also, I will say, in my defense, or in her defense, I guess, this bitch, the new girl, she was also kind of a cunt to me, and would ha ha hee hee hoo hoo amongst her friend group at me in the corner. And so anyways, homegirl that rejected me in 7th grade, fast forward to, I think it was 11th or 9th grade, whatever, I don't fucking know. She was like, oh, say something to this bitch. And I was like, oh, game, bitch, say less. So we were like standing in front of the classroom, and I was like, oh my God, your teeth, they look so good. What toothpaste do you use? I can't believe it's not Butter or Blue Bonnet. Yeah, not the most proud of that story, but, you know, it did happen. And she was a cunt, so I hope you brushed your teeth a little more after that. Maybe, you know, I saw something on TikTok yesterday, and it really stuck with me. It really did. I saw this video, and it was like, you know, you come into people's lives to trigger them, but not intentionally, but you do kind of like give them these spiritual awakenings. And like one of my sister girls who's downstairs, she was telling me yesterday, like, you know, I feel like, you know, you really get me, and like you put things into perspective. All of my friends at one point or another have like told me things like that. So maybe she brushed her teeth a little bit more after that engagement. I hope she did. I hope you're doing great, Miss Ma'am. Actually, I don't care, but I wish you well. Wherever you are out there in these streets. Anyways, moving on. I may have told this story before, but in 7th grade, growing up in school, my mouth always got me into trouble. And in 7th grade, my teacher at one point moved me into a corner of the classroom in an isolated desk. And that was just an obstacle that I was inevitably going to overcome via throwing paper planes across the classroom with notes to my girlies. You know, me and my girlies, I have so many notes, by the way. Miss Yana, Kathy, Alyssa, Lindsay, Morgan, if y'all are listening by any chance, I still have so many letters we would pass back and forth amongst ourselves in these classrooms. But yeah, so I would always find a way to disrupt the class one way or another. I just liked to talk, you know, like, and so it got to the point where I was in my own corner and I still was a nuisance. So there was a meeting called with the principal, my mother, and my teacher. And, you know, when I was in the office, she's like, you know, Cam is just always causing a disruption. I put them in their own corner and somehow they still find a way to talk. They won't hush. They're always talking and beep, beep, pop, pop, boop, boop, boop. Yeah. And without skipping a beat, I'm like, what? I've got a lot to say. Bitch. I didn't say bitch, but I did say I've got a lot to say. What can I say, you know? I got to get it off my chest. Otherwise, it's going to drive me fucking crazy. I've got ADHD, which I didn't know at the time. But I do. Crippling ADHD. So that's probably... wow. That's probably what caused a lot of my issues back in the day. Interesting. I love having epiphanies. Yeah, so bitch, I got a lot to say. And I still got a lot to say. I just got to figure out how to say it, you know? My mother thought it was hilarious, though. In the moment, she played the mom role, like, damn. In the car, she was just like, bitch, you are too funny. My mother was, wow, my mother was definitely my hero so many times growing up and still is. She called so many schools. I went to a lot of schools. But she, one thing she did not play about her babies. She did not. And when there was a problem, oh, she was speaking to the managers. She was speaking to the principal. She was speaking to the regional, the districts, whoever she needed to. She would not stop. My mother was fearless. She was resilient. And she would not stop until she was heard. And I do really... feel inspired by my mother quite a bit, if I'm being 1000, but yeah, she didn't play. And lots of fights with administration. And one time my mother actually got really upset with me this particular time, but in sixth grade I was going to Richards Middle School in Lawrenceville, and my mother had just moved to Barrow County. But she didn't want to deal with the withdrawing me and putting me in a new school. Plus, that school was close to her daycare that she was directing. So it was like still easy for her. It wasn't out of the way. And I would just, instead of riding the bus, I could, you know, be a car rider. And so one day, I had like this digital camera, and me and this girl, Tayasha, if you're listening, hey mama, we were taking a picture in the hallway, and this teacher came out. I fucking hated that bitch, Miss Welch. She came out and took my camera from me, and I went to chorus. I was blood boiling all chorus. Couldn't even fucking sing, bitch. I was just like, my camera, my new camera. I just got this, bitch. It's gone. And I got back to class, and when I came back to her class, she was like my homeroom teacher. Not my homeroom, but she was like on my team. I forgot how that shit worked back then. There was like two teachers you were frequent with, but then you had like your chorus, you'd go elsewhere, whatever. So she was one of my main teachers, and we were in class, and I don't know why she felt the need to just announce to the whole class, like, oh, Cam, so your camera is... And basically just said that the principal had my camera, but she just said it in such a condescending way and announced it to the entire class and like singled me out. And that's one thing I don't like. I don't like to be singled out, bitch. Please don't do that, because I it's not cute. Okay. So she like turned around and started writing on the dry erase board, and I flicked her off. And this motherfucking bitch, Jonathan Chisa, that was his dead ass's name. Not making fun of it, you know, that's his name, whatever. Pop off King, hope you're doing swell and well. But he said, Miss Welch, Cameron just flicked you off. So it caused a little conflict with me and her, and one thing led to another. I said something like, I can't wait till this school year is over. And she said, I'm counting up the days, sweetheart. And I said, bitch, I'm counting up the days. I'm not to see your fat ass. Yeah, principal's office immediately. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, they were like, "Why? What did you mean by you can't wait for the end of the school year?" And I was like, "Well, I moved, bitch. What do you mean? I'm not going to be here next year." "Oh, you moved. So you're no longer in the district. Oh, today's your last day." Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother was pissed. She was pissed because now I was going to have to find a school in my district or in Barrow County, and she, you know, worked close by to my school that I was at the moment, and she needed me to be at her daycare afterwards because work, you know, so it really fucked things up for her. She was very upset. She had to drive so much further, but actually, not that much further, because my dad, my parents were divorced, and so my dad, he lived not too far from that district, but it was Sweetwater Middle School. If you're a Sweetwater girly, rise up. So I, halfway through the school year, I went to my dad's district because it was still closer for my mom to pick me up after school. But anyways, that's all irrelevant. So I went to that school, and I don't really know where I was going with that story. That school was a nightmare. That it, Sweetwater, I used to call it Murky Water, because it was just always some fucking nonsense, some troubled children. Like, there was like drug deals going on in middle school, and I had like no idea what that even meant or what that was. Like, it was too much. Some people beat me up. Well, they didn't really beat me up. I was running to the locker room and for PE, and they like pushed me against this brick wall, and I like scraped myself up. It was really sad and unfortunate. But after that, I started wearing my gym clothing to school every single day because I was not going to the locker room. Also, those boys were like, if you come in there, we're going to beat your ass. And there was like fight matches in that locker room. So I was scared. I was fucking scared. I wasn't fucking with the bitches. Sweetwater, y'all traumatized me, just saying. Yeah, I wrote some other stories down, but let's see. So the blue bonnet, told y'all that. What else? I got kicked out of school. Okay, so my 11th grade, I was diagnosed with my illness. So if you're new, if you're just tuning in, I had a rare blood disease called paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria. It's a 1 in a million blood disease. Literally 8,000 people in the world have had it. And I was one of those fortunate people. But when I was diagnosed, my health like went very downhill very quick. And I was in the hospital, Eggleston Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Rise up. Thank you, Queens, for taking care of me. Miss Rochelle, love you, and everybody else too. But when I first was like diagnosed with my illness, no one believed me. And I've always been so out there. So even my best of friends were like texting people back and forth like, Cam is just looking for attention. Did y'all hear this bullshit? They're claiming right now they're sick. Some shit, I don't know, it's a blood disease. Are you kidding me? Bitch, I had blood transfusions pumping in me. That's something I actually, that's something I haven't quite healed from. I'm going to be 1,000 with y'all, because people at my school were so ruthless. And I don't know why. I feel like with even some of my close friends, family, jobs, everybody that I've ever encountered, I feel like I always am having to like prove myself because people never take me seriously. And I'm like, I know I'm silly and like I kind of mask some of my problems I'm having sometimes. But if I'm saying like, oh, I think I'm dying, like I'm not just trying to be quirky, like there's something going on with me, you know. It's not a joke. It's not a bit. It's just, I have a way of expressing it. And maybe that's why people don't take me seriously. But I always feel like I have to have the hard evidence before someone even takes me remotely serious, which just really sucks. But I had like videos of me getting, you know, like my friends were like, prove it. Like, what the fuck? I'm dying. Like, I ain't got time for this shit. But people still, like, this is all for attention. This is all for, okay, period. But my 11th grade, when I was like coming back to school, there was like a 2-week period where I missed school. I didn't go. And when I came back, there was what they call a 504 plan. I believe that's what it's called. It's basically a plan that is set in place to protect ill children from their tardies and their absences. And you won't get in trouble or the law won't come after you because you're fighting for your life, essentially. So they had put that order in place at my school, but that's like a process. It doesn't just like, oh, here's a 504 plan. This guy's got to be approved. And it was a process. So I wasn't any less sick, but like I said, people, they don't believe me when I tell them shit. So I was late to school quite a bit when I came back, and I was late to class because even the simplest tasks, like just walking to my classroom, was so daunting. Like I was so out of breath. I would have to take breaks. I would have to stop because my hemoglobin, my red blood cell was so fucking low. It was like non-existent. And so I was a slug getting to class, and my school was like, it didn't have two stories, but it was just like so wide and long for whatever fucking reason. It was like a maze. So many like, it was stressful. And so it took me forever to get to my classes. And my teacher, Miss Lee, if you're listening, what's up, bitch? No beef with you. You're a sweet lady, but I was actually dying when you challenged me the way you did. And oh, my computer screen. Yeah, so basically I kept getting written up. She kept writing me up because I was late to class like every day. And it didn't matter. I was like, I'm sick. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it is what it is. Also, my dad like got me to school a little bit later because I was dragging ass getting ready. So, you know, just really didn't help my case, but I was doing the best I could at the time. And she wasn't buying it. She was not fucking buying it. So she kept writing me up. And one day I came into class and I have a write up somewhere. I should have fucking kept it out. One second. I'm going to look for it.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so I found it. Why do I have this? I don't know. I kept a lot of weird ass shit growing up, but this was the write-up I got in 11th grade from Miss Lee, November 30th, 2011. As student was walking to class this morning, I told them they have ISS and need to go down to the ISS room. Cameron replied, "Hell no, I'm not going." After announcements, I told them again to go to ISS. Cameron said, "I'm not fucking going and no one can make me." Got on their phone and started texting. I beeped for administration. Yeah, they do got the wrong pronouns on this bitch, but I hadn't really developed my pussy yet. So, yeah. Oh my God, my government name is on that. I'm going to try to blur that out. Yeah, so I got written up for inappropriate language, excessive loud talking, disrespect to authority, and it was crazy because after she beeped for administration, I stormed out of the classroom. I said, "Bitch, I'll leave on my own accord," and I walked out, and I waited for the principal in the hallways, which we had just transitioned out of, like, the best fucking principal, Mr. McGee. You were great. Then we had this dictator come and take over and changed everything, like our school, like our lunch programs, or not programs, but like the way our lunches worked. And you could no longer leave. We had like assigned seat, like areas we had to sit in. And it was just like a prison after he came in, and he tried to do some announcements, and it was just so horrible. And like, he was just trash. He was a fucking bitch. Anyways, just had to get that off my chest. But he met me outside of the hallway. And he just like immediately was so aggressive towards me and was like, "You are such a troubled child and blah, 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 blah. You're causing a disruption. How dare you disrespect authority like this? And I'm like, I'm dying. I'm literally dying. Like, I have a disease and no one's listening to me. And he's like, oh, yeah, save it. Save it. They always have something to say. You always be pop, 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 pop. And this is like the first conversation I've ever even had with this man. Like, he's acting like he knows me or knows of me. Like, prior to this, I didn't really get much in much trouble in high school. Middle school, I got into a lot of trouble, but up until that point, I didn't get into much trouble. And yeah, he basically was like, if you don't hush your mouth, if you don't save your excuses and hush your mouth, I'm going to make sure you have ISS for the rest of your high school career. Bitch. Anyways, fast forward, we got into the office and I'm like, you know, do you have children? And like, because what if your child had cancer and went to school and no one was believing them? Do I need to call my mother? My mother called and cussed his ass the fuck out, as she should. She was not very happy about that. So after that, Miss Lee really lightened up to me, actually. And she was very sweet and very, she was very supportive of me after that situation. I guess it was an eye-opening situation. There we go. I was told that I trigger people and wake them up. So maybe she woke up to be kinder because she was not nice to me prior to that. But she was very nice. In fact, there was like International Night, I think it was, and I sang We Are the World. Wow, if you saw that, congratulations. I hope those clips never surface, but I do remember she was very supportive and she was cheering me on afterwards, and she came and was like, oh, that was so good. Oh, you're beep, beep, pop, pop, boop, boop, boop. So I don't hate you, Miss Lee. I'm just sharing a story, you know, per. But that write-up, I'm going to keep it forever. I should frame it. Not that I'm proud of it, but it was just so funny. It was so me and so just like I didn't give a fuck. But yeah, I don't really have many. Oh, there was one time. So my senior year, I came out of the closet. I think it was my senior year. And after that, like, I just let loose. I was carrying purses to school. I was wearing makeup. I didn't give a fuck. I completely just owned who I was. I didn't care. Now, I was still figuring myself out, so I did not really put the best outfits together. And my hair was kind of crazy. My makeup was horrendous. It was. But I walked, my senior year, I had a free class. So they put me in the discipline office, and I would like have to organize people's write-ups, put them in their folders, and go get students out of class. And one day I had to get somebody out of the automotive class, and I walked in and there was a substitute who was very much butch. She was not the normal teacher there, but anyways, I walked in, I'm like, we need so-and-so. And when I was walking out, the kid that was like closest to the door snickered. And before the door shut, I heard, fucking faggot, like some shit like that under his breath, something about faggot, some slur. And I was so proud of myself in like that era, because I was like, I'm me, like I'm queer as fuck and I don't give a fuck, you know? And so I was like, Camo, don't just let this one go. So I slammed open that door and I was like, excuse me, what was that? What was that? That's right, bitch. Shut your fucking mouth. And the substitute just looked at me and like, we exchanged this look like, it's okay. And she like, you know, I heard her thoughts. She was like, a queer kiddo sticking up for themselves like that, I'm not even going to report this. That motherfucker looked flabbergasted. The whole class was like, probably clowned his ass too. I hope they did. Oh, he was a bitch. They all were a fucking bitch. I grew up in Winder, which was just such a problematic fucking town to live in, especially as a minority, a queer person, a person of color. Like it, that town was so backwards to all of us. And my classmates were just so nasty. And I can't wait to see them at the 10-year reunion, because they really ridiculed me growing up. Because I was myself. And you know, what are they doing now? Getting cheated on, divorced, looking like a fucking pumpkin, tugboat ass bitches. Mm-hmm. They peaked, you know. So, no hate in my heart for you though. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you for living and breathing. Yeah, yeah. On that note, I'm going to wrap today's episode up. And Yeah, I had a lot of other stories to tell, but I'm looking at this list and I'm like, that's stupid, bitch. Don't even mention that. I used to fucking go around with this girl, Allison. If you're listening, hey, girl. She thought it was so funny. I could make sheep noises and I sounded dead ass like a sheep. I'm not even going to try it right now. But it was like, if you heard it, it sounded like a little Miss Mary's lamb, like literally. And I would do it and people would, the teachers would get so upset. I also used to make this like, I can't do it. I'm a little rusty and dry right now, but it sounded dead ass like a bird, right? And I would do that. And I could do it so good that you couldn't tell I was doing it. And I would do that in classes and it would just drive teachers fucking so bad. Why did I do that? I don't fucking know. I was a nuisance. But yeah, one day a teacher called to see if there was a bird in the ceiling. Anyways. That's all I got for you girls today. I hope y'all have a great day. Hold it down. Send me positive energy, healing, healthy energy this way, please and thank you. And leave a review. Yeah, I love you.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.